am Morgen, am Abend. Am Morgen, am Abend, bei Tag und in der Nacht.
We are here, a radio show where we discuss racism, politics and migration, here and everywhere.
نحن هنا برنامج إذاعي يناقش العنصرية ضد اللاجئين, السياسة والهجرة هنا وفي كل مكان.
Aquí estamos, un programa de radio donde discutimos de racismo, política y migración, aquí y en todas partes.
Biz burada, burada ve her yerde göçmen ve siyaset karşıtlık tartışma bu radyo show vardı.
أبزعلنا عن مطيقنا راديو بزعب على تنت أنصار سدة تنت بوليتيكا أبزع أبدهون بوتا.
Wir sind da ist eine Radiosendung, wo über Rassismus, Politik und Migration hier und überall diskutiert wird.
Мы здесь. Радиошоу, в котором мы обсуждаем расизм, политику и миграцию здесь и повсюду.
¿Cuánto cuesta olvidar la raza, el color de la gente, dejar el miedo y abrir tu mente?
Okay. Welcome back on the Color Radio with We Are Here from the Black Rose. Today we are going to talk a little bit about the 8th of March and what is it for a day and why is it so important. We're going to also talk a little bit about Roske 11, a situation that is happening right now in Hungary with some migrants that were confronted with the police and now threatened to be in jail for a really long time. And if we have time, we are also having some information about Afrin and what is going on there. So stay tuned. But as usual, we are going to start with some news. Human rights defenders who challenge big corporations are being killed, assaulted, harassed and suppressed in growing numbers all around the world, researchers have claimed. A survey by the Business and Human Rights Resources Center recorded a 34% global rise in attacks against human rights activists last year, including 120 alleged murders and hundreds of other cases involving threats, assaults, and intimidation. The number of incidents were found to have risen sharply, with 388 attacks recorded in 2017 compared with 290 the previous year. The research focused on attacks against activists involved in protests against corporate activities. Victims included unionists, protesters, whistleblowers, and indigenous communities. Land rights defenders and activists linked to the mining, agribusiness, and renewable energy sectors were found to be in greatest danger. The researchers also highlighted an increased risk to lawyers and to members of human rights and environmental sector working for corporate accountability. In 42% of harassed cases, jurisdictional intimidation was used in an attempt to suppress protests against business activities. This included arbitrary detentions, criminalization, and aggressive lawsuits.
Myanmar. Myanmar's military is building bases where Rohingya homes and mosques once stood, Amnesty International said on Monday, citing new evidence from satellite imagery. Nearly 700,000 members of the Muslim minority fled to Bangladesh in 2017 after Myanmar launched a brutal crackdown on insurgents that the US and UN have called ethnic cleansing. Myanmar rejects that accusation, saying it was responding to attacks by the Arakan Rohingya Salvation Army in late August. During the crackdown, more than 350 Rohingya villages in western Myanmar's state were destroyed by fire. The Amnesty report echoes previous studies, saying the remains of some of those villages and some buildings not previously damaged had been bulldozed.
France. So 2 weeks ago we were talking about Bure, a nuclear waste that wants to be built in, let's say near the German border in France. And so at that time, we didn't have the information that on the 23rd of February, there were two people arrested by the cops, and they are since then in a preventive detention, and so in jail, and their trial will be on the 19th of March.
Syria. 2017 was the deadliest year of Syrian war for children, says UNICEF. A generation of children, Syrian children, face psychological ruin and ever-increasing danger, with child deaths soaring by 50% last year and the number of young soldiers tripling since 2015. A report by UNICEF found 2017 was the worst year of the war for young Syrians, with 910 killed in a conflict that has spared them no mercy and has taken a vastly disproportionate toll on the country's most vulnerable people. The figures undermine claims that the war, which will soon enter its eighth year, is losing steam. Those most at risk face escalating threats of being permanently maimed by fighting or emotionally scarred by a litany of abuse, including forced labor, marriages, food scarcity, and minimal access to health or education.
Germany. The process against the Freital group in Dresden ended last Wednesday. The seven men and one woman were found guilty of several offenses, including forming a terror group and attempted murder. They were sentenced between 4 and 10 years of jail. Over the last years, the group led several attacks against asylum seekers and their solidarity groups.
Italy. Last week, election in Italy ended up with triumph of populist five-star movement. In addition to that, fascist North League landed on the third place with almost 18% of votes. Silvio Berlusconi is also back in politics with his party, talking about possible coalition with fascists and five-star movement. All three parties have strong anti-immigration position that threaten to make situation with crossing the sea even more complicated.
China. China's parliament has scrapped presidential term limits, paving the way for President Xi Jinping to rule indefinitely over the world's biggest country. Out of 2,936 delegates to the annual session of the National People's Congress, 2,985, so about 99%, voted yes for changing the constitution on Sunday. Xi has consolidated power since taking the office as General Secretary of the Communist Party in 2012. His most important title, which has no term limits, but which was due to his two predecessors both gave up after two terms. He would have to give up the presidency after the end of his second term in 2023, but he can now have a lifetime to push his vision of a reunited China as a global powerhouse with a world-class military. His rise has been accompanied by tighter restrictions on civil society, with the detention of activists and lawyers, and stricter limits on the already heavily controlled internet. At the same time, he gained a measure of popularity among Chinese people through a relentless crackdown on corruption that has punished more than 1 million party officials and sidelined potential rivals.
Okay. And now we will go for a pause with MIA, Borders, and we're coming back to talk about 8th of March. Stay tuned.
Freedom, item, meet him, where's your freedom? This one needs a brand new freedom. Weed and the key, weed and the key them to life, let's beat him. We them smartphones, don't beat them. Give it in and in it, did it, did it. I'm gonna keep popping on.
me say when I'm with them. We solid and we don't need to kick them. This is no Southeast and Western. Yeah, guns close doors to the system. Yeah, fuck them when we say when I'm with them. We solid and we don't need to kick them. This is no Southeast and Western. Them. We're solid and we don't need to kick them. This is North, South, East and Western. Yeah, guns close doors to the system. Yeah, fuck them when we say we're not with them. We're solid and we don't need to kick them. This is North, South, East and Western. We representing peeps, seven players on the app. And we're talking in our sleep, just to listen on the system. We're sitting on the stoop, where we get our scoop. This is how we keep it cool and this is how we do.
We are back in the caller radio, and my chair is making noise. Okay, so we are here, and the Black Rose, and one of the main topics of our show today is AIDS of March. So, in case you missed it somehow, AIDS of March was some time ago, and eventually, for a lot of people, it is connected actually with the so-called Women's Day. With little understanding of what actually this day means, you know. So the people rush into the shops, buy flowers, go to the women and give them flowers, and this is like the day they celebrate femininity or whatever. However, if most of the people would know the history of the day and actually what originally the day meant, maybe the attitude would be different. The day was started as an attempt to push the struggle for the women's rights inside of the socialist movement and inside of the growing world society, and give more space in the revolutionary struggle or in the political struggle to the women as well. But somehow, after many years going through, especially in the ex-Soviet Union countries, it became kind of a day of, as I said before, celebration of the femininity, where little left of the original history of the day. However, this year still, people all around the world, including, on all the continents actually, apart from the snowy one, went to the streets to protest the not stopping harassment, to continue protesting against violence and discrimination of the women in different societies. Not only, you think, those horrible countries that we go on our vacation to, rather than actually in Europe, where harassment is going on a daily basis, and the movement Me Too is gaining its kind of momentum. However, in Germany, the marches are also happening, and one of the marches that happened next to us, next to Dresden, was yesterday, 11th of March, in Chemnitz. And this was a march organized by the Prisoners Workers Association to the women's prison to point out that eventually the struggle goes on for the women's rights, not only outside, but also inside of the prisons. And we have a couple of people who can tell us a little bit more about why people joined this and why people marched to the prison on that day.
Well, yeah, first of all, it was a pretty nice demo. It were about 150 people, maybe even a little more.
I'd say more.
Okay, I'd then let's say 300. More. 300. Okay. The demo went from the university in Chemnitz to the prison and stayed in front of the prison for about an hour. Made some noise, held some speeches, had some contact with the inmates, and
yeah, there were also a couple of speeches and actually two stops on the way to the prison. So one was like a really emotional point, because you walk through this really gray and empty streets of Chemnitz, and then all of a sudden there's like one last hill, and pretty much all you see is a gray and more gray and more gray and infrastructure. I mean, the prison is kind of between three huge roads, and then there's this huge building with the huge wall in front of. But still, I mean, you come there as the demo and you see the women shouting out of the windows and waving, and it's really, really cool to establish a connection, even though there's so much space and so many things that try to keep you apart. And this is for me also the really important thing about this demo, that you establish contact and show solidarity to people that the state doesn't want to put in the light of attention of anyone.
And yeah, to the question like why people go there and do such a demo and support people, I would say it's just because people are not in jail because they're evil, but because life is fucked up. And I guess a lot of people didn't make the choice to now become a criminal or something, but they were just in a situation of life where they did whatever, or maybe didn't even do anything. And then the German justice system did its job, and in the end, you have people ending up in prison. And yeah, that's for me. Yeah, for me, it's just important to show those people that they are not alone. And
yeah, actually, statistics show that especially in the case of women, almost 80% of incarcerated women are there due to economic crimes, like shoplifting or not paying bills, etc. And of these 80%, a huge amount has also got a history of sexual abuse or violent relationships or, yeah, violent surroundings in general. So this actually shows in a really dramatic way that people who are marginalized anyway kind of end in this devil's wheel of coming to prison and being exploited even more by working for really, really low wages without paying in the superannuation fund or anything. And then usually when they come out, they are even more dependent on those violent relationships.
And who were eventually the people who joined the demonstration? I've heard there were like between 200, 300 people. But who were they? I mean, I don't need the names and the passport data. I'm just interested, like, what kind of groups of people?
Well,
was it like the Green Party joined?
We saw a lot of flags of the FAU, CNT Union. I don't know, just people from all around.
Like that yeah, there was actually also a very large part of women.
Okay. And the cops, what's up with that? I've heard that they were promising some troubles at the beginning of the demonstration, I mean, to the people who were organizing the demonstration. So what happened at that point?
Well, I guess they just had a really good poker face because we didn't see that trouble in the beginning. No, there was, there were a lot of cops around, but in the end, just walking to the jail and back was not a problem at all. At one point, the demo got stopped because there were some fireworks and they were not happy with it. They started filming and they stopped filming again. And, we heard that in the end there was trouble again because they still wanted to find the people who lit up these fireworks. And it actually started started some trouble with people who were there. But this I also just read in the news, so...
Okay, and what's up with the people? Are they free, or what happened eventually?
Well, apparently about 40 people had to give their IDs in the end and are going to be charged with Landfriedensbruch, which is like the disturbance of public peace, something like this. And two or three even got little more serious charges because the cops apparently took one person in custody and then they tried to free this person.
Okay. It seems the struggle for the 8th of March actually continues, right, with the confrontation with the police that is provoked by the police in most of the cases in Germany. So thanks a lot for giving us a short introduction in what happened in the last days. I hope that we all remember that the 8th of March is actually happening every year, but the struggle for the women's rights is happening every day, every hour, every minute of our lives. So join it. Don't try to hesitate or find some nasty excuses because there is no changes in the world without the changes of the rights of the women.
Dorten nicht mein Schatz, wo Lebenswelken bei Maschinen, dorten ist mein Ruheplatz, dorten ist mein Ruheplatz. Nicht such mich die Vögel singen, gewinnst mich dort nicht, mein Schatz. Ein Sklav bin ich, wo Kelten klingen, dort ist mein Ruheplatz, dort Tränen rinnen, Zähne kriechen, dorten ist mein Ruheplatz, dorten ist mein Ruheplatz. Und liebst du mich mit wahrer Liebe, komm zu mir, mein guter Schatz. Heute läuft mein Herz getrieben und mach mir süß mein Ruheplatz. Und mach mir süß mein Ruheplatz.
this was Mein Ruhe Platz, a Yiddish song about a Jewish immigrant, mostly women, who died in the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire at the beginning of the 20th century. Yeah.
Aziz, Mahmoud, Muhammad, Ghazi, Hamada, Fatoum, Shaiban, Kamil, Farouk, Ahmad. Those are the names of 11 people which were convicted in Hungary in the last month. And one of them, Ahmad, is still sitting in the Szeged prison in Hungary for 2.5 years now. In November 2017, he was convicted for 10 years in prison for an alleged act of terrorism. So why were all those people in prison and why is Ahmad still there? The background starts at the 15th of September in 2015, when Hungary decided to close the border between the Hungarian state and Serbia. So days before, people could still pass. They could get a 72-hour visa to pass Macedonia and Serbia and then travel through Hungary. But from one day to the next, the crossing of the border was called illegal, and the huge fence that you might know, which is there today now, was set in place. So at this day, about 5,000 people were gathering there in front of the checkpoint. And at this point, there were also a lot of families, a lot of young men and women, also old people. And yeah, it was really warm. The people were waiting. It was all really, really unsure what's going to happen. And frustration formed because no one knew anything. And some people started to protest. About 150 people started to protest in front of the border. But nothing really happened. And then out of the protest, a couple of stones and one plastic bottle were thrown at the border checkpoint. And at this stage of the conflict, the border checkpoint was really, really highly militarized. So if you have a look at videos from the day, there are a lot of videos because a lot of people with smartphones and also camera teams there to film showed highly armored riot police. And after the throwing of stones, the first wave of aggression hit the people standing there with tear gas, water cannons, and batons clashing with the refugees. So that happened about 2 p.m. And I said first wave of aggression because there was also a second wave of aggression, which happened about 5 p.m. There, the riot cops moved about 150 meters behind the actual border checkpoint, which led people to believe that the border is free and that they can pass the border. So they actually started to self-organize. How can the older people and the ones which are injured go through the border first, that they're finished with all this trouble? And that's what they did. They moved this 150 meters of fenced area between the border checkpoint and the station police. And all of a sudden, the Hungarian anti-terror unit rushes in, stops beating up people, stops arresting people. Again, there's a lot of video footage and also photography on it, because under the people smashed were, was an Australian photographer, a Netherlands photographer and photojournalist, and then also a lot of people with phones filming it. So you can actually get a really, really scary picture of those anti-terror cops smashing in there with the, not like with the legal sticks, but with like the metal things to smash the people. So during this wave of aggression, 11 people got picked out of the huge crowd of people, and those were the one who were not fit enough to flee. So yeah, I mean, it's really scary because, for example, under these 11 people, there's a 64-year-old half-blind woman with diabetes who is actually the mother of Ahmed, which is the one who is charged for 10 years of terrorism. Also, there's a person in a wheelchair. There's another person with a hip dislocated. And so you really get this picture of all the really scary rioters who the Hungarian state arrested because they were such a threat. I hope you get the irony. So from the first six, which got 1 year and 2 months of prison and 4 years of expulsion from Hungary, the seven accused was the one who was talking to a megaphone for 10 minutes. And for that, he got an extra full year of prison sentence and also 10 years of expulsion from Hungary. And the one who has the harshest sentence is Ahmed. He still remains in detention and he got convicted for 10 years. And the persecutor actually put in a pledge because he wanted it to be more. He was actually pleading for 20 years for committing an act of terrorism. They see this terrorism because Ahmed was talking into a megaphone during the whole query. And actually, when you look at the countable videos online, you can see that he was trying to talk to the police and also to the refugees. So kind of having this role of talking to both sides to figure out how to de-escalate and how to get those people over the border in safety. So that's something, that's a little bit about the background. We're going to listen to a song and then we want to, have a look at the latest court trials and what was happening recently with the trial.
Si nous avions une cuisine, Sophia, nous y serions passés après souper pour vaquer aux tâches ménagères et papoter sur les thèmes domestiques les plus insignifiants, pendant que les hommes seraient sortis fumer et discuter sur les thèmes les plus importants qui soient, et à l'occasion décider de nos filles.
Elle regarde la rumeur de la mer, visage marqué par la douleur, lueur dans l'écume et le ressac, ce corps trop courbé par la vie, il est temps de vider son sac, seule la mort la délivra de ses putains de vie, elle sait trop, tue ses silences, la tue, dès l'enfance savoir que t'es pas la bienvenue, pas de garçon dans la famille, pour son père était malvenu. Quand la sécheresse a tout détruit, c'est pas l'eau, mais les coups qui ont plu. Sa sœur s'est enfuie, elle l'a plus jamais revue. Le père picolait de plus en plus, et quand ses règles sont apparues, c'est le voisin qui l'a souillée. De putain, elle fut traitée, il paraît que c'est pour l'honneur que dans la rue. Son père l'a jetée, elle a erré pendant des mois sans rien manger et prendre du poids. Elle comprit vite qu'elle attendait un petit d'homme, issu de la violence des hommes. Aux femmes oubliées, dans l'ombre de l'histoire, à celles qui ont lutté pour construire notre histoire, à celles qui ont tenu, même dans le désespoir, à celles qui sont battues pour que renaisse l'espoir. Aux femmes oubliées, dans l'ombre de l'histoire, à celles qui ont lutté pour construire notre histoire, à celles qui ont tenu, même dans le désespoir, à celles qui sont battues pour que renaisse l'espoir. Sa route l'a menée à Barcelone, pas doute c'est en été que nous sommes, dans chaque rue, dans chaque allée, bistrot ou assemblée, c'est la révolution qui bourdonne, des rêves de liberté, bourgeonne, c'est dans la peur et la fuite que les bourges donnent, ici quand les fous dorment, leurs songes sont anarchiques et les armées faites de rêveurs, bien loin d'elle le temps des pleurs, elle a trouvé avec sa fille, refuge chez des amis de Durruti, fini le temps des jugements, des curetons, leurs voix inquisiteurs et autres crétins, et pourtant, le clan républicain républicains se déchirent par les armes et le sang. Elle s'enrôle comme infirmière et part au front. Les rêveurs peindront la guerre et se replieront. La plupart de ses amis, morts ou disparus, elle quitte l'Espagne, pays perdu. Elle et sa fille, emplies de rage, doivent encore fuir la violence des hommes une fois de plus. Aux femmes oubliées dans l'ombre de l'histoire, à celles qui ont lutté pour construire notre histoire, à celles qui ont tenu, même dans le désespoir, à celles qui sont battues pour que renaisse l'espoir. Aux femmes oubliées dans l'ombre de l'histoire, à celles qui ont lutté pour construire notre histoire, à celles qui ont tenu, même dans le désespoir, à celles qui sont battues.
Si un jour je change, je m'en irai loin d'ici. Loin. Très loin.
Je t'irai où?
Loin de tout ce merdier. Me marier, faire la bouffe, et... je dis pas ça pour toi, moi. C'est pas mon idéal de vie, ça.
Qui tu te prends, toi?
Rassure-toi, pas pour ta fille. Ça veut dire que moi, je vais me battre. Je veux pas vivre dans une bulle toute ma vie, moi. J'ai besoin d'air, j'ai besoin de vivre.
Les années passent, mais la rage reste intacte, voilà l'impact. Des années de lutte, de combat et de portes claquées après insultes, des coups de matraque, des gardes à vue, visage plaqué sur le bitume. Trop de vies ont passé entre le marteau et l'enclume. Elles ont tant lutté contre l'odeur rance avec leurs plumes. Elles ont tant crié contre cette vieille France, sourde et mal baisée, finalement obtenu le droit d'aimer sans procréer. En 67, 3 ans après, le MLF est enfin né. Plus jamais les yeux baissés, plus jamais honte d'avoir recours à l'IVG. 1975, notre corps nous appartient. Enfin, nos filles auront d'autres choix que celui de choisir entre mère et putain. Pouvoir dire non, vouloir plein d'autres choses, changer d'avis et aimer à l'envie. Être plus et plus encore qu'un simple corps qui donne la vie. Aux femmes oubliées dans l'ombre de l'histoire, à celles qui ont lutté pour construire notre histoire, à celles qui ont tenu, même dans le désespoir, à celles qui sont battues pour que renaisse l'espoir. Aux femmes oubliées dans l'ombre de l'histoire, à celles qui ont lutté pour construire notre histoire, à celles qui ont tenu, même dans le désespoir, à celles qui sont battues pour que renaisse l'espoir.
Okay, that was Collectif Marguerite with some French song called Danse l'ombre de l'histoire. And this is Black Rose on We Are Here. We are talking about Rojka 11. We were talking a little bit about the repressions that were happening in Hungary in the last years and people facing real terms in prison. And we continue talking about that.
We found out that there were those clashes with riot cops and people getting arrested. Of the 11 people arrested, 10 are free to the state. They got 1 to 3 years of prison terms. And there's one term outstanding, which is the verdict for Ahmed. He was already charged in the first instance in November. But with the beginning of January, there was retrial because the second instance found some failures in the whole trial. So from the 8th, 9th and 10th, there was a new trial. And on the 14th of March, so this month, there's going to be the final verdict. Which is really important to know about the trial is that it's a real racist show trial. All the witnesses which are there are cops, and they are mainly members of the riot police. They have a look at the video material of the day, but they cut out all the scenes of the police brutality and just show Ahmed with his megaphone without sound, that they cannot hear that he's actually not saying all this shit that they tell that he's saying. So they listen to it without, watch it without sound. And then the prosecutor is saying what Ahmed is actually saying in the scene. So it's absolutely ridiculous. And when Ahmed is trying to defend himself, he's actually guarded by two completely covered riot cops in black, and he wears hand and foot pebbles and also a leash. So on the first trials, when he tried to say something, one of the riot cops was like, pulling on his leash like he's a dog and not a human being. So it's really scary. And also the media coverage is really one-sided because actually the majority of media which is present there are national Hungarian media. And the repression against all the people that form demonstrations outside the jail building is really high. With the starting of the new trials, there's a new judge, which is slightly less racist, like the last one. But there's no new evidence allowed in the case. So they're still just evaluating the old video material. So, yeah, at the way which the trial is actually conducted, nothing has really changed. But now, since January, they at least try to listen to him a little bit. What is really, really shocking is that he, for 2.5 years now, is treated like a terrorist. As I already said, he's let there in the room like he's the most dangerous person in the world. Also, for 2.5 years now, he's in solitary confinement, meaning that he has no person to talk to at all. Since January, he's allowed of 1 hour per week of going to the yard. But during this hour, all the other prisoners have to stay inside. Also, he has to eat alone, and he's alone all the time. No person with a Hungarian passport is allowed to see him. And since January, he has 70 minutes a week to talk to his family. And before January, he had no chance to talk to his family at all. So as we can see, it's extremely harsh conditions, even for a prison sentence, which is already, really a really serious, psychical, demanding issue. But those conditions are just nowhere in comparison to what was actually going on. I mean, we have to remember ourselves. This is a person who was trying to cross the border. And more ironically, he has an EU passport because he's actually living with his family for 10 years in Cyprus and was just on the route through the Balkan countries to help his 64-year-old mother who was trying to get to safety. So as we can see here, the whole state regime of Viktor Orban is trying to criminalize refugees. He is trying to build this case of a really horrible, dangerous terrorist to kind of justify the militarization and all the investments in the security sector and the authoritarian regime. And so it actually affects all of us. It's not just something which is far away in the conservative Hungarian country, but it's like a matter of how to deal with people that want to move, that want to cross borders. People have always crossed borders to start a new life somewhere. And a lot of Hungarians have actually crossed borders to start a new life in the 56 civil war. So we really have to make up our minds how to deal with it. And one start is to break down the isolation of prison and write Ahmed a letter. He is actually right now not allowed to receive those letters in person, but there's a group of people from Vienna who is passing the letters to Ahmed. And if you want to write Ahmed a letter, you can go on the Can't Evict Solidarity page. You can just find it when you search for it on the internet. And there's an address. The group of people who is passing the letters is called Verein zur Förderung feministischer Projekte. And it's on Kleeblattgasse 7. Yeah, I'm just going to read it in German because it's in German, but you can look it up at the webpage. And the postcode is 1010 Vienna in Austria. So please organize an event, write letters, get this whole story out of there. It's completely irrational how 11 people that were trying to cross a border are criminalized and are tortured just to justify national states.
Te dedicamos esta canción y es por eso que rápido corren los versos, se abren el espacio camino a tu corazón y no queremos que nunca te sientas sola. La estás sola cuando caminando la sombra con consecuencia. Te quitasemos el aguante con actitud desafiante y con la autoridad nos salpamos y al cuello nos lanzamos. Y no vamos a olvidarte, no vamos a dejarte, no abandonamos a los compañeros cuando esto cae en prisionero. No, 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 no. Solidaridad se escribe con sol.
Resistencia nos habla de palabra y acción.
Solidaridad se escribe con sol.
De la venganza, coherencia y amor.
Solidaridad se escribe con sol.
La existencia nos habla de palabra y acción.
Solidaridad se escribe con sol.
Con el sol de la venganza, coherencia y amor. Nuestro brazo, compañera Tamara, abrazamos tu entrega y tu solidaridad. Desde el centro de exterminio te escuchamos, hermana. La palabra y la acción siempre nos ha quedado clara. Ni el castigo ni la gana aniquilan a las ganas de ser libre. Nos mantenemos firmes de guerra, de existencia indomable. Nos habla de lo salvaje, de amor, compañerismo, decisión de ataque. Cada palabra va dedicada a las individualidades que pasan a la ofensiva.
Solidaridad se escribe con sol.
Resistencia nos habla de palabra y acción.
Solidaridad se escribe con sol.
De la venganza, coherencia y amor.
Solidaridad se escribe con sol.
Tu existencia nos habla de palabra y acción.
Solidaridad se escribe con sol.
Con el sol de la venganza, coherencia y amor.
Compañera Tamara, aquí las ganas nos sobran. De llevar a policía, guardia y a toda la horca.
Porque negamos la autoridad, fuerte le vamos a dar. Nadie nos va a parar cuando lleguemos a atacar.
La memoria es un arma, aquí ponemos la pala. La disparamos a los que mataron al Eduardo y al Rafa.
Y tantos anónimos, tantas anónimas. Sé que habrá más muertes, si será la autoridad.
So now for the last 10 minutes, we want to talk a bit about Syria, especially about the north of Syria. As you may have heard, Turkey is attacking this region, as they say, to liberate it from the Kurdish troops who are there. And now they are in this region and right in front of the city of Afrin, where about 1 million people are. And this weekend there were the news that people are planning to act as a human shield in an effort to protect the Syrian city, as the Turkish military and its allied forces prepare to capture the Kurdish-controlled urban center. Turkey launched its cross-border operation on January 20, saying it needed to eliminate the Kurdish militia YPG, which is backed by the United States, but which Turkey describes as terrorist group. After weeks of fighting, Turkish soldiers and allied Free Syrian Army fighters are now on the outskirts of the city and poised to enter. A number of towns and villages were taken from the YPG on Sunday by Turkey's military and its allies in the north and the south of the Kurdish district. "The speed of the assault has taken everybody by surprise," said Al Jazeera's Alan Fisher, reporting from the border town of Gaziantep. He added that supporters in Turkey were also planning to come and act as a human shield in attempt to prevent an all-out attack on Afrin. There were people who said they wanted to help the YPG against the FSA and the Turks, and so they offered themselves as human shields, an offer that was accepted by the YPG. And it's not just people from the Kurdish areas who are going there. We are also hearing reports of women groups, socialist groups that are also offering their services to put themselves between FSA and the Turkish and the YPG. Over the last 48 hours, Afrin city has reportedly been targeted by Kurdish air raids, water has been cut off and the internet severed. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan on Saturday said his forces would be inside Afrin in a matter of days, but for humanitarian reasons, they were taking their time to strategize and prevent civilian death. More than 1 million people are now in Afrin city and villages around it after fleeing the fighting, according to the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights Monitor Group. We are hearing from people inside the city itself that most houses accommodate 4 to 5 families, with the number of people who have moved because of this offensive into the city. Erdogan said on Sunday Turkish troops and allied Syrian rebels were now just 4 to 5 kilometers from Afrin. Turkey's president said so far 950 square kilometers of the district had been captured during the military offense. The operation was not to occupy, but to liberate, he said, and then hand over to the residents. So after this, pro-Kurdish demonstrations have also taken place in Germany these weekends. About 200 people marched through the capital on Sunday, waving red, white and green Kurdish flags. Some demonstrators were reported by DPA news agencies to have thrown rocks at a building after a man waved a Turkish flag from there. And also in Hamburg, about 400 people went to the Russian and the Turkish consulates on Saturday. And it was also reported that rocks flew to the Turkish consulate. Other rallies were reported on Saturday in Düsseldorf, Kiel, Saarbrücken and Kaiserslautern. And yeah, a part of from this fighting in the north of Syria, it's by far not the only place where people are dying at the moment. In eastern Ghouta, which is a suburb of Damascus and a stronghold of the Free Syrian Army, the army of Syria's leader Assad is now leading heavily attacks, and about 400,000 civilians are trapped in this city as well.
Okay, and we are actually coming to an end of the show. As usually, or sometimes we do this, sometimes we don't, we would do an events section. And the first one to mention is the talk where you can hear about grenades, tortures and kidnapping. FSB attacking anarchists and anti-fascists in Russia. This will happen on the 14th of March at 6:30, half past six, in Internationalist Center at Rieserstrasse 32. So next to us here at the Color Radio. Yeah, you're very welcome to come. On top of that, on the 15th, so the next day after that, at 7 o'clock, there will be a presentation about labor movements from the right in Germany, talking a little bit about how the new right and extreme right are trying to find their place in the union work and, well, eventually the workers' movement. And this will happen as well in the Internationalist Center at the Rieserstrasse at 7 o'clock. Once again, 15th of March, 7 o'clock, Internationalist Center. However, what is also important to mention on the 15th of March is an International Day Against Police Brutality. So people all around the world are going to take to the streets to fight police brutality that is happening on a daily basis in the poor communities, in the mostly in the poor communities eventually, but also sometimes with the people who are protesting against the wrong things. Like, for example, it happened yesterday in Chemnitz, right? So get yourself geared up and do some actions against police brutality. Get attention from the public. Don't let it happen and don't let it continue happening to you, to your neighbors, to your community, because this is something that is destroying our society. So 15th of March, Day Against Police Brutality.
Also, which is really important in March, is the Kein Schlussstrich campaign. The NSU process is going to an end, and there are events in the whole of Germany during this week and the next weeks. So inform yourself if you're interested. The campaign name is Kein Schlussstrich. And for example, in the city of Dresden, there are several events during the next weeks.
Okay, and that was it. It was Black Rose with We Are Here on the Color Radio. we will play one last song for you. And after us comes Violence and punk rock and really nice music you should check out. See you next week.
Los coches.